Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 1 to 29. The Agreement of the People. The People's Agreement, part 2. Now here we have a long list, first of all, beginning with Nehemiah himself, the governor. We have a long list, and then we go into the preamble, as it were, of this agreement that these Jews are drawn up in their determination to return to God, to see the restoration of Judaism, to face the past, realize the dreadful state of the nation deserting God in the covenant, and setting out their resolve to please God and walk with him. So this agreement, people's agreement, part 2. We concentrate particularly on verses 28 and 29, but the list is important for the Jews. You can see who the people are that are subscribing to this, how they're subscribing, and why they're subscribing. These are three important questions: the who, the how, and the why. Well, who is subscribing to this? Well, all of them, from the governor down to the servants. They're united in this. They have something in common together from top to bottom in this society. What is it? They want to be separate from the pagans. The people who had come together separated themselves from the neighboring peoples, and the reason is for the sake of the law of God, together with their wives and all their sons and daughters who were able to understand. All these people were able to join themselves and felt willing to commit themselves, even in this writing, to this solemn oath and covenant to obey God. The who, then, from the top to the bottom, even the children, well, those who could understand, and all the families. Now, we're back in the old covenants, so we're not in the new now. So the family business and the tribal business is of importance here. That's gone in the new covenant, but the principle comes over. Here are a people from top to bottom, utterly given up to God in his worship and service and obedience to him. I can see a parallel in ecclesia life. The believers united together in agreement, committed to one another, and to serve God and obey God and keep the new covenant, the ecclesia of Christ, the law. This is what the ecclesia, the separated ones, to keep the law of Christ, the covenant of Christ. That's what they had in common. They were going to be separate from the pagans. This is the number one priority for Israel, of course, from the Old Testament. And so they were committed. That's the who. Now the how. Well, look at the solemn unity here. Verse 29, it's pretty clear. All these now join their brothers, the nobles, and bind themselves with a curse and with an oath, to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our God. I see this as a definite, grave, solemn, weighty, unified commitment to the covenant, to the law, to the regulations, the decrees, the commandments, the judgments of God, that they're given up to this, and that they're united in it, and it's a very solemn commitment. That's the who, and that's the how. And the why, well, I've hinted at this as we're passing along. It's not to admire the commandments. It's not simply to display the commandments, although they did have to display the commandments. It's not to put them in nice pictures and put them on the wall and talk about them merely, although they did have to talk about them. It's the obedience of them, given to the servant through Moses, the servant of God, to obey carefully and not just in a superficial way, give themselves wholeheartedly to obedience to the commands, regulations, decrees of the Lord our God. This is the commitment they're making. Not to keep the law in a museum as something to go and see and talk about and merely preach about, but to do it. Well, you don't need me to make any application here. Am I willing to commit myself to Christ? Am I willing to submit to the covenant of Christ? I'm a believer. Do I yield myself to Christ. This is what believers are. They submit to Christ. They're willing to obey, and they make this commitment to him. And it's a solemn matter, that solemn vow, this solemn commitment and devotion to Christ. And there is this separateness from the world, not the mingling with the world, but the separateness from the world and utter devotion to God and the gravity and the weight of it all. Look at these words, curse, blessing, obedience. All these things are implying a curse for those who won't obey. Obviously, the blessing of God if they do, able to understand, willing to commit themselves. Oath and covenant here is all set out. The word covenant is not used, but it's clearly set out here. They're going to obey, and they separated themselves to this. May we have the same spirit in the churches today. Believers being marked out by this separation from the world, but separate unto God. May it please God to come and revive us and refresh us in this sense, for Christ's sake. Amen.